I don't know how many of you have listened to much news this week on Christian radio, but I heard them talking on there about a man that's brought suit now against two publishers that publish Bibles, because that in the Bibles that they publish, it talks about homosexuality as being a sin, and that makes him feel bad. So he's suing them to have that taken out of the Bibles that they're publishing. And, you know, you'd think you could laugh at it, that it is so stupid that anybody would consider that. And then you think, well, what stupid lawyer would even take a case like that to go to argue? But then you realize he's in it for the money. He don't care where he wins or loses. He's getting the money from that man. But then you think, well, they just have to get some stupid liberal judge sitting hearing it that would rule in favor of the man. And, you know, when you hear things like that, there was a time that you could just laugh about it and figure there ain't nothing to become of it, don't pay attention to it, and just let it go. That's the way a lot of Christian people did when it first come up about taking prayer and Bible reading out of school. It would never happen in America, and nobody paid any attention until it was too late. And, you know, we need to pay attention to what the Word of God says. And, you know, I was in that tractor raking hay when I heard this, and I just thought, they can change every Bible in America. They can go into the houses and confiscate all the ones that we have that already says that it is a sin, an abomination before God, and they can take every bit of that and do away with it. But when that man stands before God, God's got one that he hasn't been able to compromise and get to, and it's what he's going to be judged by. God don't need to come and pick up one of our Bibles that was printed here to know what to judge a man by. He had it recorded before he ever gave it to man. And you and I today, we better come back to the Word of the Lord. And I want you to pay attention to this and instill it into your children now, so that when they grow up, no matter what the laws of the land change to accept, that your children will know that the Word of God cannot be compromised. And pay close attention to this. You know, here Paul is writing to the Roman church, and if you know much about history and the things of Rome, I've read it two or three different times where it talked about what brought the Roman Empire down was homosexuality. And here Paul, in his first chapter that he was writing to Rome, to the church, he mentions homosexuality. But here in the 18th verse, he said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." You know, and instead of them accepting the Word of God as being what it is, they count it as nothing. Then go down to the 25th verse. "Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Then the next two verses comes into the homosexuality. And you'll find here that it tells you that it's against nature. It's not natural for a woman to be with a woman or a man with a man. And all of these things, he makes it plain. But then, if you will go down in the 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter and the 22nd verse, and here Paul's still doing the writing, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. And what, I'm not going to preach on homosexuality today per se. But, you know, here it's just in the changing of the Word of God. And we'll find today, if you go on and read this first chapter, you'll find it covers a lot of other sins in there also. And every one of them, when it comes down to the end, it says, these things are worthy of death. And you and I today, we better wake up and not be willing to hold up for somebody that's in their sin, but tell them just what it is. Because here you'll find that he wrote up there to Timothy, said, neither be partaker of other men's sin, but keep thyself pure. You and I today, if we want to stand around and tolerate those that's living in sin and condone what they're doing, or just be friends and never speak out against the lifestyle that they chose, no matter what their sin is. God said if we partaker of it, why God reward all of these people that stand there and speak out against sin upon the authority of God's word. And in God's word he tells me, homosexual, that is a sin. You and I today, we need to recognize that. Adultery is still a sin. We need to recognize that. Lying is still a sin. We need to recognize that. And tell people that they'll be brought into judgment for these things. And when we come before God, we can, you know, if this man, if he can find a court so foolish as to rule in his favor, you wait. There'll be the very next month somebody that has chosen a lifestyle of marrying and divorce, marrying and divorce, marrying and divorce, bringing that case to sue to have that taken out of the Bible, to where no longer does it say that you're only entitled to one wife or one husband. Most of our churches anymore don't preach that. That's one way that we tried to do away with it. Not changing what the Word says, but just never standing up on it. Never preaching it. Never teaching it. But when we stand before God, God's still going to require that we abide it by what His Word said. And if we don't live that way, when we stand there, we're going to find that God meant every word that He said. And when He said here, you know, Paul brings, I guess, down a Christian life as plain as any that you'll find. And in his teaching to Timothy, he told Timothy, is right where we read to you, don't be a partaker of it. You and I today, he tells us that the Word of God, it's for reproof. It's for correction. If we don't agree with it, we don't change the Word of God. We change us. Or we just say, I want no part with God. Because when this life is over, no matter what we change that we carried around in our hand, if we didn't carry the true Word of God and accept it the way it is, when we stand before God, we're still going to be judged by God's Word. Why before God come and give man the Ten Commandments there on stone, he already has that as man should live. But he just wanted us to have what he was going to be judging us by. The
He made sure that every home in America has the opportunity to be able to hold the true word of God in their hand and to live by, to raise their children and teach them these things. What if we choose not to? When we stand before God, who's going to be the loser? In that circle, we fail to obey. We close out. We stop their ears of what God has to say. But that's not going to change it, sugar. He's not judging us by what we accept and what we reject. But he's judging us by what his word says.
And we're being held responsible about what we do with it. You know, there was a king once that when a prophet wrote unto him a whole book of things, what was coming to pass and what God thought about the way people was living. And what did the king do? He took a penknife and he cut the page and threw it into the fire. What did God tell the prophet? You go, you write all that back down again and more. You and I, we can't do away with it by burning it or getting rid of it here. Why? Because God's got his record recorded on high. And you and I, when we come before him, that's what we're going to have to come face to face with. That man cannot tamper with, nor change. You'll find a lot of what people call today Bible. It's just man's commentary on the Bible. It's what they believe or what they say. And they've changed a lot of it so it no longer means the same thing. But if you go back and read the King James, they say, oh, it's hard to understand. I thank God, he said, though he be a fool, a wayfarer man, he may not err therein. I remember my command of the man up back there in the Delaware. It ain't slipped my mind right now, but I remember him. He couldn't read a word, but he began to listen to the Bible all day. He made sure he got the King James, and he listened to it so much. You can start reading in the Bible any word you wanted to, and he could tell you exactly what you were going to say. He had almost all things memorized. So he could read anything. He had been there for a tour. And if anybody would do it, so that would contrast to the Bible. He could tell you real quick where it was that you needed to come to find out what God had to say about it. What is it today that people have? We have the Word of God, and yet we're not interested in accepting what it says or living the way that God would have us to. Brother Meade was the man's name. And, you know, each and every one of us, when we stand before God, we've got the Bible that we can read. And, you know, if our courts of our land, they have rooms plumb full of books telling you what the law is. And do you realize the judges don't know it? That's why any time a case is coming up before them, they have law students that research it so that they have what applies in this case there before them. But yet, when they try you for breaking some of that, he'll tell you ignorance is no excuse. You're being held responsible for that that even the judge don't know. He had to have somebody go hunt it up so he would know how to rule on it. But your ignorance because you broke it, that's no excuse. When we stand before God, we've had God's Word in our hands. How much more is God going to say to you and I, ignorance is no excuse? You're willingly ignorant. You know, that's what the Bible says. People are willingly ignorant. We close our mind to it. I used to work for a family, a lady that was a Catholic, and she owned a horse farm, and I worked for her on that farm. And I went telling her some of the things in her Bible, because I went and got a Catholic Bible to see how it differed. And I went telling her things that was in her Bible that she didn't live according. And she said, I don't need to read the Bible. I had the priest to tell me what to do. And I said, well, what if he ain't telling you what the Bible says? And she thought, well, as long as I go and I make confession and I do my penance, I will be all right. That's rules of man. That's not rules of God. We need to get on our knees before God and repent, and God will put within us His law to work. When we're faced with something that we don't know, from a pure heart, we will hear that still small voice begin to speak to us and warn us, stay away, leave it alone. Why? Because God wants us to know ahead of time what's right and what's wrong. And you'll hear people happy. They say, oh, when I used to do that at first, it bothered me happy, but it no longer does. Why? The Bible talks about people having their conscience seared. And if you take a hot iron or something, and you burn a place on your arm, and then after that it's totally healed, you can come back and touch places like that. And it's not as sensitive. Why? It kills the tips of those nerves in the hat. They're no longer sensitive. That's what's wrong with us today. God deals with our hearts and we say so. It could be there. And we stop right here. We close our eyes to it. We walk away and hang for a while. It no longer bothers. So we think it's all right. God said, I'll turn them over to a reprobate mind. The believer lies me there. America walking that road today. Every Jew in the city, of course you're taking us down that road, and man is pleased to go. Why? It gives me more liberty. It gives me more freedom. I can live the way I want. But God said, remember, for all of this, you will be brought into judgment. You're without an excuse. And it's time to wake up
and realize America might recognize children having two mommies or two daddies, or two women and one wanting to be called daddy and the other one mama, but God don't. And it's time to wake up. God said it's not natural, and you know, if God, when He created man and woman in the garden, and He set everything in a natural order the way it should be, I would say He'd be the one that should know what is natural and what isn't, wouldn't He? If you get a piece of equipment and you don't know how to work it, what do? You try and find an owner's manual for it. And if you can't find that this day and time, you can go on the internet and find out who it was that manufactured it, and you can call them and ask them a question, and they will tell you how it's supposed to work, all about it. Well, why won't we take God's manual for how we're to live and how our life is supposed to be? That's the Word of God. But we're rejecting the one that made us manual for how we should live. We wonder why we're not developing to our full potential, and yet we're turning around and refusing to be exactly what God would have us to be. And each and every one of us, when God said in the beginning that He created everything that there is. And Christ was right there with him. And Christ come and fulfilled his job here and said, it's finished. And then the whole plan of salvation being offered to man, why do you think that we can reject all of that and then still be allowed to go in to where God lives after he paid such a price for us? You know, it's time to wake up. You know, people's always talking about, don't judge me. It's up to God to judge me. Do you realize Christ said, I don't judge you, but the words I speak, they shall judge you? When you stand before God, God said the books is open. That's the Bible. All the books that he gave. You and I, we're going to be judged by that. What did we do? How did we take that word? How did we measure up to it? And then, our life is right there plain, just what we are. You and I, when we come before God, there will be no pleading and begging for mercy then. We don't get on our knees and repent today and live the way God said for us to live. On that day, it's going to be too late. And I don't care what it is that the courts of this land deem it's acceptable and it's all right. I don't care what they say about the Word of God. I've got several Bibles printed by several different publishers, but all King James. And one of them has got some writing in it from back before 1900. Real old Bible. And before I would let a man take all of those Bibles from me, I would die in defense of them. Why? Because that word is that precious to me. You and I, we better make sure that we hold the Word of God precious enough that we're willing to risk our life. Why? Paul gave his life for what that he wrote, what we're reading to you today. Paul was willing to die rather than compromise it. So how can we compromise today upon what that was already given? What was died to protect? What somebody thought that much of, that they was not willing to compromise, they were willing to die for. You and I today, we might say, oh, I don't want to live like that. You don't have to, no play. Does God make you live according to His Word? He just said there'll come a time when I make you wish that you had, because when you're found in violation of it, I've already pronounced what the sentence is. If not, then God's going to stand there and say, I know you're guilty. You deserve to go to hell. But your father was a good man. Your mother was a good woman. I'm going to let you go in. That might fight you off with some judge here. But when we stand there, you'll be standing for yourself alone. And the life that you live, and each and one of us give an account to all wise and powerful God, who will not compromise on His Word. But He said, if we try and climb up any other way, we're the same as a thief and a robber. So I don't care. I don't know the man's name that's so upset over finding that the Word of God says that his homosexual lifestyle is a sin and wrong. That's terrible. He's upset. But if he gets his heart right with God, he can come out of that lifestyle and find out what joy and true living is all about. You know, if we're living a life that is not natural and is against nature, how can we expect to be happy and be proud? You know, there's people out there that's so bold that they will say that they're proud of this, they're proud of that, that is just, to me, so horrible that I'd be ashamed to even mention anything about it. And you know, used to, people was ashamed, but just like it says in the Bible, they've got to the point where people are no longer, they don't even blush at this. You know, there was a time when a woman, if she got pregnant and wasn't married, it was so embarrassing, she'd almost hide the whole time. And there was a lot of times that they pretended that baby belonged to somebody else after it was born. Today, people go out announcing, I'm pregnant, not married, and no shame whatsoever. What's wrong? They have no conscience of what is right and wrong. They've been deceived into accepting just whatever. Well, you and I, when we stand before God, a righteous God, we're going to really feel uncomfortable in our sin. Because, you know, I've seen people do this. Somebody that was cursing and turned around and there was some person that was a Christian or like a mother or a father to them, and you could see all, it just pour all over them that they felt so bad that they got caught. Well, you and I, when we stand before a righteous God, and we know we've been in violation of His Word, I don't care if they change the Word of God. That very man that argues the case and takes it to court, if he wins, the day he stands before God, he's going to realize, I did not change those words. They're still there. And oh, what shame he'll feel. The judge that would rule on something that way, he will become a partaker in it. Even the lawyer that's arguing for him, he may be doing it for money in his pocket, but God said he's a partaker in it. You and I, we better stand up. If we want to be a partaker of something that's going to make a difference, be a partaker of arguing that, that's right. God's Word, telling the world this is what God requires. If I'm going to be a partaker and judge guilty of anything, I want to be guilty of standing for that, that's right. Again, as I was riding in that tractor, raking ahead in his way, was first founded upon in what brought us to the strongest nation on the face of the earth. And if we keep going the way we are, sin's going to bring us down to the weakest nation, to nothing. You know, I can remember sin because I was born in 45. Right at the end of the Second World War. And I can remember when the Korean War started, people still talking about the Second World War and how that people came to church and prayed because of the war and how they was concerned. And really, what Japan did in Hawaii to our fleet should have been enough to whip any nation on the face of the earth. And yet, we rose from that because we had a praying nation. I can remember during Korea, I was young, but I remember in every service about it, these fine boys come in the uniforms, but you'd hear people all over the church pray for my child. They're in Korea, and how the people, they just, that was what was heard everywhere. But when Vietnam come along, I only remember seeing one, maybe two soldiers in that whole time of war in church in their uniform. Moms and dads wasn't requesting prayer the way that they did during Korea or even during the Second World War. But you look, each war, this nation has not come out as strong as it was before. There in the Second World War, Japan and Germany both ended up surrendering. But there in Korea, we come out and negotiated a settlement. We didn't make them surrender. Why? Because America really come to the place we didn't have the heart to fight a war. A way of war needs to be fought. In Vietnam, it was the same thing. And today, it's the same thing. We're not willing to fight a war the way that it can. Either go to war to win or stay out of it. You go all out or you don't get it to start with. That's the same way we need to do as a Christian. We go all out for God or don't get it in at all. Enjoy what sin has to offer. Here for a season and know that for all of eternity you're going to be in hell for it. Come and we go ahead for it and live a Christian life. We're still going to end up in the same hell. And we need to realize it's either all the way for God or not at all, because God don't take a half-hearted attempt at being a Christian. And you and I today, we can find all over this country churches that will accept people in homosexuality in as members. We will find preachers that will perform ceremonies over two women and two men. And yet, that is in violation of God's Word. So, how can they lead anybody to God when they become a partaker of the sin that God said was an abomination and worthy of death? They just pronounce death upon their own self for being a partaker of it. Any court, any judge, anybody in the land that upholds court becomes a partaker and will stand before God is guilty as if they had done it. So you and I, we better stand up and make our voice heard against all forms of sin that the Bible speaks of. And if we don't, we know somebody that's guilty and we cry not the alarm, God said, you're a partaker. So, this is not a warfare to try and make best friends. Paul wasn't worried about being their friend. Paul wanted to lead them to God. What Paul say there is they was all just criticizing Paul and acting like he was something awful. Paul said, I wish every one of you was just as I am except for these bonds. He wanted them to know God as he knew it. You and I, that's what we need to offer to people today. Why don't we get some song to sing? Know the true and living God that you might offer him to those that you meet. And if we do, then we can not have any fear when it comes down time for us to die or to face God. We can know beyond a shadow of any doubt that it's all right between us and God. You know, that's a wonderful thing. Being able to lay down at night to go to sleep. Lay it on a pillow and go off praying. You know, here the last few nights, the moon has been shining in our bedroom window so bright. And it's so wonderful to lay down. Look at that beautiful moon. Be praying and talking to God that created it and everything that there is. And know if that's the last time you ever see it, that it's all right between you and God. If you never see another day here, the next thing your eyes will see will be something so wonderful that words cannot describe it. And that will be the face of God. Each and every one of you, I beg you, don't compromise one iota upon the Word of God. Don't remove a dot of an I or a cross of a T. Never take a word out. Never add one in. But live just as near as you humanly can to exactly what it says. And when you come short and you fail, get on your knees and repent. Because after all, you'll give an account when you stand before God of just what you did with His Word. While we sing, will you come?